Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel once again. And in this video I'm commenting about the African Peace Initiative, the Russo-Ukrainian War, because it was yesterday, Friday the 16th of June, when four African presidents visited Kyiv. And it's the first time more than one African president has been in Kyiv on the same day. So the President Cyril Ramaphosa of South Africa was perhaps the most prominent member of the delegation. There was also Macky Sall, who's the president of Senegal, Hakainde Hichilema, president of Zambia, and Azali Assoumani is the president of the Comoros. The Comoros are a group of islands in the Indian Ocean. And President Assoumani is also head of the African Union. You know, there's a regional organization for Africa, and every country in Africa is a member of the African Union, with the single exception of Morocco. Now, the president of Uganda was supposed to go, but he chose not to go at the last minute. And indeed, my goodness, I should know his name, though, the president of Egypt, it'll come to me. He chose not to go. And likewise, the president of the Republic of the Congo chose not to go. So four presidents rather than the original seven. But nevertheless, it's an impressive delegation. And they flew to Poland, caught the train to Kyiv. They were hacked off with the Poles because some of President Ramaphosa's security detail were not allowed to disembark in Poland because the Poles said, well, you know, you're carrying firearms, you're not authorized to carry firearms in Poland, so don't get off the plane. And some of the South Africans said this was racist. But anyway, that was it. President Ramaphosa went ahead. And that seems to be the traditional way to travel from the Polish border to Kyiv is by train. They don't fly in, too much danger of being shot down, but then the train can be blown up. Anyway, no president or prime minister's train journey has been interrupted. So the African Union would like to secure a peace agreement between Ukraine and the Russian Federation. But notwithstanding the African presence being in Kyiv, there was a barrage of Russian missiles fired at Kyiv during that time, which I think is rather risky from a Russian perspective, because what if they accidentally kill one of the African presidents? That's not a good look, particularly President Ramaphosa, with whom they've got an amicable relationship. Remember, he's part of BRICS, that organization that contains Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. And he's due to play host to the BRICS summit later this year. And President Putin is due to visit the Republic of South Africa. Now, as South Africa has ratified the Rome Statute of the International Court, it'd be under a legal obligation to arrest President Putin, subject to the ICC arrest warrant for him on suspicion of crimes against humanity. So Putin probably maybe won't go, or maybe just South Africa simply won't arrest him, be in breach of the Rome Statute, withdraw from the Rome Statute, be expelled from the ICC, I don't know. But anyway, they're seeing if they can come up with an agreement that is acceptable to both sides. So the Ukrainian foreign minister, Dmytro Kuleba, said it shows a Russian bad faith that their confidence-building measure during the presence of these peace envoys was to continue to fire missiles, 12 of them. Now, the Ukrainians said six of them were Kinjal missiles, meaning dagger, Russia's latest and best, when they go like 10,000 kilometers an hour. And Ukraine claims to have shot down all 12 missiles, including the Kinjals. And there was minimal damage to the city. Now, I don't know how true that is, but there is evidence that rather few of these missiles are getting through. When you shoot down a missile, it obviously falls to earth and goes to do some damage on the way. But the point is, it's not going to strike whatever its target was. It could still damage buildings. It could even still kill people, just not as many. But the Russians are persisting this despite the diminishing returns on the missile barrage as Ukraine's got ever more sophisticated air defense. And the situation is almost normal in Kyiv right now. So Ukraine, it says, it's making ground in its counteroffensive. But President Putin said yesterday that the Ukrainian military doesn't have a chance. Certainly there's fighting in southern Ukraine around in Zaporizhia region and east Ukraine like Donetsk. So the African leaders, because Africa of all the continents is perhaps more positively disposed towards Russia than any other. It partly goes back to the colonial era, to the anti-apartheid era, So right up until 1990, when the Soviet Union existed, saying, well, the Soviet Union, it demanded decolonization by France, United Kingdom, Portugal, Spain, Belgium, and so forth. And indeed, they got it. And they were banging on about colonial slavery, despite obviously Russia having colonized many other places itself, and despite the huge advances in civilization and human rights that was made for African countries when they were under the tutelage of European countries, and despite the often dystopia that they faced since. But the trouble about this argument is we have to be pro-Russia because of that, is Ukraine was also part of the Soviet Union. And if that was such a fantastic thing for the Soviet Union to do, well, then Ukraine must also claim the credit from that. Now, the Ukraine war has affected Africa. They're impacted by the higher grain prices, the higher fertilizer prices. And of course, you're living on the bread line anyway, and then the price of bread goes up. Then you're reduced from hunger to starvation. So the Black Sea Grain Initiative is vital for them. So Russia's been threatening that they won't extend it anymore, but in order to garner some goodwill from Africa, they might do so anyway. It's particularly important for Egypt. And if bread prices rise, there are riots in Egypt. People are often living there on $2 a day. It's El Sisi. Yeah, El Sisi, that's the president of Egypt. How could I forget? The European Union spokesman for foreign policy said that Putin's clearly not committed to stopping the conflict. He was completely cynical. That's why he launched this barrage of missiles. But Putin's in St. Petersburg at the moment for the St. Petersburg Economic Forum. It's been going on for 25 years and is a very poor showing. Hardly anybody is there. Putin on Instagram was showing he was receiving the president of Algeria. All right, that's quite a coup. But there were times when presidents of major countries, like say France, Italy, China, used to go. Not anymore. And it's very expensive, and Russian business leaders don't want to bother to show up because what's it to discuss? They're doing hardly any trade. And people who might want to go, foreigners are going to stay away because the reputational damage doing business with Russia would result in. So the African delegation is going to go on to Russia to see whether they can negotiate peace. I think it's very little chance that's going to happen. That Russian foreign policy document they published a couple of months ago. So they see Africa as a real growth area for Russian soft power. They have more sway there, partly because Wagner private military company, was fighting in the Central African Republic, Mali, Libya, Mozambique, possibly elsewhere. So a way to make money, they'll be dependent on Russian hydrocarbons. They won't have the money to be switching to renewable energy and things like that. Some are quite anti-Western. But even if the USA or the United Kingdom are evil, that's not Ukraine's fault. But then again, Ukraine is often backed up by them. So I think the outcome of this is going to be nil. That the African peace delegation, will they go on to Moscow? I suspect via Belarus. I think the Russians are not in a mood for peace, and they still think that they can win. So do the Ukrainians. If this counteroffensive fails, then Ukraine might be more amenable to negotiations. If, on the other hand, it's crowned with success, they get to the Sea of Azov, they're able to cut off Crimea, then again, Russia might come to the negotiating table. Thank you for watching. Bye.